This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Vibing again, and you all know why. You guys, if you've listened to me long enough, this is episode 24, I believe, of the podcast. 24 in, we're doing good, and things are looking up for Real Madrid. And I'm happy to continue here. And so if you just started listening to the podcast, you will know that I like to... I like hip-hop. Hip-hop is my thing, especially old-school hip-hop. I was born in the 80s, so 90s hip-hop is my thing. And so that's why I like to play a lot of that, mostly that at the beginning of the podcast. But it's also because I like to set the mood. So you know if we've lost a game or won a game, probably because of the fact that the music is either relaxed and vibing or, you know, pissed off. So that's one of the things I like to do with the podcast and make sure we pick the right music to set the tone of the show. So before we get into the game this weekend, and I'm going to, you know what? Let's just go with this. I'm going to probably keep this one a little bit short. It's late as hell. I had a bunch of stuff to do today and I'm feeling kind of tired. And I'm still nervous because we have a big game coming up and there's a lot of, you know, the bad news, the unfortunate, you know, feeling of doom and gloom still is around. It's like things are going well for Madrid in a lot of ways, and we'll get into that in a second. But at the same time, you don't want to get too excited because we make this mistake. People make this mistake where we get too excited we feel like things are looking a little bit better, and then, you know, you get the proverbial egg on your face, you know, where just things went just when you thought, especially with this season with Madrid, just when you thought things were going well, all of a sudden, boom, smack in the face, crying, you know, snot coming out of your nose, sniffing, you know, just weeping in a corner kind of thing. And I'm not saying that that's what I personally do, but you would have to ask my wife. But when Madrid loses, I'm pretty much done for the day. Like, I don't want to do anything the rest of the day. And I don't know how some of you are. I mean, I've been with this team for quite some time now. Like I was saying in the past, like a lot of you guys, that some of you are younger, you guys only remember the glory days of Madrid, but there aren't always glory days. And especially when we were up against, you know, as much as a lot of us dislike Barcelona, and I know, you know, I enjoy and revel, like, even if we lose a game, my day will be half okay if Barcelona lose or drop points, you know. It's probably one of the teams I dislike the most in the world. I don't know if there's a team that I don't like, that I dislike as much as I dislike Barcelona. I don't know. The Premier League is one thing, but maybe Juventus, you know, because I'm a Napoli fan, but I can't totally hate Juventus right now because they have Cristiano there. But as a Napoli fan that's followed Napoli and I like Napoli, you know, it's kind of like you have to dislike Juve. But besides that, yeah, it'll make my day when they lose. But we can't get ahead of ourselves because, like I'm saying, you know, for some of you guys that are younger, yeah, there was a lot of glory days, especially in the Champions League, but they always made our life miserable in the league. And I suffered a lot because of Lionel Messi. So, fantastic. Like, I'm not the type of guy who gets going to jump on here and hate on footballers, you know? I just don't think that's the right thing to do. And if you've listened to my podcast enough, you know that that's just not me. you know, I'll banter here and there, but to say that, you know, to discount what a legend that dude is too, you know, is kind of silly. Not kind of silly. It is silly. It's stupid. You know, the man gave me nightmares when we played Barcelona, and even beforehand. You know, the era of Ronaldinho and Eto'o and Henry. You know, they were a nightmare too. You know, so with that said, though, let me get into a couple things here. So you can always follow the podcast, as you guys know. You can follow it on Y Nada Más Podcast. That's where I'm most active. I'm most active actually on Twitter. And that's where most of you guys, if you follow me or if you guys want to engage or you guys want to like see what we're posting, you can check me out there. That's usually myself. You know, I'm on there actually, and I'm the one that's usually posting everything and giving an opinion, as opposed to Instagram and Facebook, where I'm active too, because you know, I've done graphic design and stuff in the past for my jobs, and I love graphic design, but I have another good friend of mine who's also a designer, and he's doing a lot of the Instagram stuff and keeping us up to date there, and on Facebook as well, you know, sharing a lot of stuff, and you know, and we're starting to boost up, we're starting to get more articles going, you know, we're starting to get people who want to write more for Y Nada Más. So, you know, shout out to Trombach. He's on, you guys know, if you guys are on football Twitter, you guys know Trombach. He's one of the writers here at Y Nada Más, one of the contributors, and he's been great to have on board. And shout out to El Vikingo. He is also another guy that has been writing for us at Y Nada Más, and he just jumped on board too. And so we're going to see you know, how things move forward. And so now, you know, we have got two writers, and I'm going to try to jump in and write some stuff occasionally when I get a chance. But yeah, you know, it's trying to grow it, but most of all, you know, it's the podcast. We're also going to see if we can do, some Instagram live stuff. And as well, you guys can check out Real Madrid Hub, which is a channel that is, run by myself and by Jota Real Madrid. Now, Jota Real Madrid, he's done a lot of stuff. He's got quite a few subscribers in Spanish. He's been doing a lot of like news and, you know, opinion videos and things like that, mostly on YouTube. Well, pretty much all of it's on YouTube, but he does a lot of stuff there. He's been doing some Instagram lives too, but his stuff is all in Spanish. But we teamed up to start doing some videos in English, and he's going to be doing a lot more videos in English now for Real Madrid Hub, but I'm going to be joining in pretty much daily. I'll be trying to do at least two to three videos on there as well, but we're trying to do daily stuff on there. So check it out on YouTube. That is Real Madrid Hub. That is the channel there. Help me out with the subscribers, guys. If you want to listen to more Real Madrid content, check it out there. You know, you'll see I'll do some kind of like the podcast, but I'll do, you know, video podcasts. So it's really like maybe like a 20 minute. I try to keep them to like around 20 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on the news. A lot of stuff talking about, obviously, Sergio Ramos and everything going on with that, and the renewals and the injuries, and, you know, a lot of the stuff, that the dramatic stuff that's been going on lately. But it's kind of like, you know, me in front of the camera, just, you know, giving an opinion. And Jota does it too at Real Madrid Hub. So we're both on there. You know, we want to get more subscribers. We're at about like 70 something now. So it's jumped pretty quick. It's been like a month that we've been with the channel. So if you guys that are listening to me are interested in that, please jump on there. You know, shoot us a comment or whatever. You know, we're trying to grow it, and it's good. It's good to get, you know, chat with everybody. I mean, everyone's going to have different opinions. You know, there's the whole Zidane out crowd. There's the whole, you know, people who defend Zidane to the death. There's kind of us, those that are sitting in the middle, like wondering, you know, what's, you know, that take the good and bad, really. There's the really very, very fervent, I would say, reactionary Real Madrid fans. And then there are the not so reactionary Real Madrid fans, which I consider myself kind of one of those. I'm with the team thick and thin. There's things I don't like. There's things I hope change. But I think what happens is, you know, you can't be what I believe in sports as a whole. And also I believe with, especially with Real Madrid, and especially with football, is, you know, there's the whole, that whole saying of any given Sunday that comes from, you know, American football. But the idea is, you know, on any, you know, any team can really win. Any team given, you know, even though on paper things always look cut and dry, it's not always like that. You know, even on the best, when we had, you know, La BBC, when we had Cristiano Bale and Benzema, there were games that we lost that we shouldn't have lost. There were games that we lost that we suffered because we lost them. You know, there are teams that make your life for some reason just are annoying to play. You know, I think Valencia has always been that. Playing them at Mestalla was always difficult for Madrid. Not so much now, but Valencia was always a tough team for us. You know, just like if you look at, if you're a Barcelona fan, you know that for years they couldn't beat Real Sociedad and Anoeta, which was great for us Madridistas, but wasn't go good for them, you know. So there's those teams that can always, you know, be a pain in the ass, you know. So, you know, that's kind of like, going back to the idea of what kind of fans we are, it's, you know, that's the kind of fan I am. You know, I try to say, take the good with the bad and understand that this is right now what we're going through is a period of just uncertainty with the team. So what I was saying at the beginning was, you know, we can't, I don't want to be too happy yet. You know, I don't want to be too happy, although we've been, you know, what is this, three in a row now or four in a row? But yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we just have to take and, you know, take it on the chin, I guess, you know, as they say. So going back to all that stuff, I was saying, okay, just follow me there. Follow us on Inada Mas podcast. Follow Trambak. Follow El Vikingo. Follow guys like El Happy Madridista, the Happy Madridista, not El Happy Madridista. Follow guys like the Happy Madridista. Follow guys like follow channels like Blancos Live, Madrid Extra, Madrid Zone, the Real Champs, Managing Madrid, all those guys. Check them out. I mean, there's a lot of great news, and the Real Madrid community is great. So with that said, also check us out on inadamas.net. That is our website. That's where we have all our episodes there. And that's pretty much it. You know, you can hit us up on our email, which is info@inadamas.net. But if not, hit us up in the DMs, you know, slip into our DMs, and maybe something cool will happen, you know. But yeah, just drop us a line there, and we'll get back to you when we can. So with that said, yeah, I mean, let's talk about Valladolid. So let's talk about this game. I mean, there's a lot of crazy, there's a lot of, you know, with the injury situation is just nuts, because we got news, obviously, that Benzema is not going to play against Valladolid. As the time of this recording, there was news from Marca that Benzema was going to get an MRI tomorrow, which is Monday. And it's probably Monday for some of you. It's probably Monday right now, or if you're listening, or it might be Tuesday, who knows. So you might know the news already, but essentially at this point, we know he didn't play in the Valladolid game. He was injured, picked up a knock. Obviously, we saw that during the Valencia game, but he kept on going, and we ended up winning that game, of course. But it seems like it's a tear, it's a small tear in his left adductor. So supposedly he's supposed to be getting an MRI Monday. That is what, February, what is Monday? February 22nd, which is when, you know, I'm recording this on Sunday. So he's supposed to get that, and then we'll know for sure if he's going to be out against Atalanta. Now, Atalanta schooled Napoli today 4-2. Luis Muriel, Duván Zapata, you know, all these guys are on fire. Atalanta is not a team to take lightly. I mean, they score bucket loads of goals. They also concede, though. I would say their defense is not as good as their offense, which is kind of the flip side of what we're doing. So the flip side of what we're doing is we've gone three games without conceding a goal. Thibaut Courtois has been on fire. He saved our ass against Valladolid, and nobody can tell us any different. I mean, if you saw the Valladolid game, we won that game, but it was sloppy. It was nerve-wracking. It was at times boring. I mean, Real Madrid has become, it's not predictable, I would say. I mean, there is predictability in Zidane's, you know, way of playing where he was crossing into the middle and always looking for somebody in the middle that had the ball, using either wingers, either his wingers are kicking the ball and crossing it constantly into the box, or it's our fullbacks coming up and doing that. But it's been kind of predictable in that, or they'll soccer around the midfield from left to right and change direction, which has been working more lately. We were having trouble beating teams with the low block, but it seems like we're starting to find the opening there. And that's mostly been because our midfield has been so incredibly dynamic. Our midfield has been just so incredibly solid. And of course, I'm talking about Luka Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro. Casemiro scoring against Valladolid, getting the winner. He's become the second most scoring player on our team now. So he's essentially doing a lot of the dirty work that our wingers can't do, you know. But going back to the whole idea about Benzema, like, this is in the game coming up against Atalanta. The reason I'm not excited about the Valladolid win, I'm sorry, is because, you know, Valladolid is Valladolid. I mean, they're at the bottom of the table. Now it's time for the Champions League, and this is where it's really going to, and it's the Champions League Final 16 where it's really going to hurt us. All these injuries are really going to hurt us, and especially if we don't get some of our players back, I would say, so this is the thing I'm banking on. I'm hoping, you know, I trust our midfield and I trust our defense as of late. Even without Sergio Ramos, I think Nacho's doing a great job. Mendy's doing a phenomenal job. Lucas Vazquez, as people make jokes about it and everything, has been doing, I wouldn't say a phenomenal job, but he's doing the best he possibly can and doing pretty good at being a makeshift right back. Well, not a makeshift because he's done it before, but playing the right back position while Carvajal is out and has been in and out of injury. But I trust them enough right now, and I think they're solid enough right now where our midfield and our back line can handle Atalanta, to not let them rack up goals. You know, I think we have enough, definitely our midfield, when Toni Kroos, Modric, and Casemiro are playing well, they can shut down any team's attack, and we've seen this before. The problem is, where are the goals going to come from when the only players that we have are Vinicius, Asensio, and Mariano, you know, right now? Like I said, we don't know if Benzema is going to be available. I don't think, honestly, he's going to be available because, you know, one of the things Zidane doesn't want to do is push it, because if they push Benzema, because I know Benzema wants to play and it seems like they're trying to see what they can get out of him. But if he does have a tear, you always run the risk of him making it worse. And then we're going to be without Benzema when we truly have no other backup strikers besides Mariano, and bringing up Hugo Duro from Castilla, you know. With that said, our attack, for me, I've been very critical of our attack because I'm not the type of guy, you know, I know a lot of, you know, a lot of the guys on Twitter and on football Twitter, and especially in the Madrid community, you know, a lot of them see some great stuff out of Vinicius. He's looked better, but against Valladolid, he practically disappeared, and so did Asensio, but it was also because of the style we were playing. They were cutting inside more, and really the ones that were doing, I would say, the dirty work of, you know, taking on the wings and crossing the ball into the midfield and into the box were our fullbacks. So it wasn't really giving the chance for Asensio and Vinicius to make those runs that they usually were making. And it seems like we were trying to play up the middle a lot with the likes of Modric and the likes of Kroos setting up plays from the midfield. And it did end up working for us. We were able to cause Valladolid to give away a lot of fouls trying to stop that midfield and essentially get the set pieces that we needed to essentially score. I mean, we were, you know, I think they were lucky. We were lucky as well. They were lucky for the Casemiro not to score more than once. You know, Casemiro had to, on his third try, he got the goal. But he had two clear cut chances to head the ball in the goal, which he missed. So it could have been, you know, a hat trick of headers by Casemiro if he was on, you know, if he was like on target with those first two. But, you know, we dodged bullets essentially because of Thibaut Courtois. You know, he had an amazing stop against Janko right at the beginning of the game. And then a point blank range volley, just nasty shot from Orellana, you know, just right in front of him. And he was able to stop that. So we dodged a bullet in that sense. There were a lot of just, I would say there were a lot of errors, but it was also because we were pushing up so much. Our fullbacks were pushing up so much. And then coming back, it was causing for me, from what I saw, it was causing us to kind of get caught out of space a lot of time, caught out on defensively. And they were able to string together some pretty good plays to take shots on goal. You know, but Courtois was there. A lot of times Casemiro was there. I mean, I was looking at the stats and, you know, defensively, you're looking at, you know, interceptions. Lucas Vázquez made three. Casemiro made three. Luka Modric made three. I mean, that kind of shows you. Baran made two. Nacho made two. So Rafael Baran had a total of 8 clearances. 3 clearances from Nacho. That's 10 clearances. I mean, that's how many times they were in our box, in the box, you know, in our area. One from Casemiro. Vázquez had a couple clearances. Toni Kroos, Marco Asensio. I mean, there were a lot of times where we were, you know, they were in our, you know, final third and causing, you know, I wouldn't say they were causing problems because they weren't making clean shots except for those two, really. But they were there, you know, they were there and they were able to get in there. But, you know, our defense was solid. Interceptions-wise, you know, Casemiro and Luka Modric and Vázquez, who actually did a really great job, you know, dispossessing the other team and being able to put together some key passes. And, you know, we had key passes from, obviously, Toni Kroos, once again, was the best player on the team. 4 key passes. Lucas Vázquez actually had 2 key passes as well. And then, Casemiro did a really good job of, you know, the shots on goal were really all coming from Casemiro. Essentially from, you know, the heading the ball in. And, you know, the passing accuracy, of course, was Toni Kroos all the way. Although Lucas Vázquez actually rated higher in passing accuracy than Toni Kroos in this game, but with less touches. So, Toni Kroos had more touches. So obviously, yeah. So they were both doing really well. And Toni Kroos was once again, you know, that mastermind playing in those key passes, doing a lot of things. He ended up, you know, getting the assist, of course, to give Casemiro the goal. But, you know, and he put it perfectly on Casemiro's head multiple times, really. So, you know, but besides that, it would seem that from the stats, like, you know, we dominated, but it was just a sloppy game. It just didn't seem, I don't know. It wasn't an exciting game. It seemed like there was a lot of errors. It seems like there was a lot of, you know, watching it again. I was watching it earlier today again, and just watching some of the highlights. And it just seemed like there was nothing really, which has been the thing with us. I mean, you know, all the names I'm mentioning, if you're thinking about, you know, the people that I've mentioned who played well, I'm talking about Lucas Vázquez. I'm talking about, you know, Ferland Mendy, who's I think is just improving with time, consistently improving. I mean, Modric, Casemiro, Toni Kroos, those are our guys that consistently make noise, you know, and Courtois, of course, that saves us on multiple occasions. But, you know, the idea is that the best type of defense is a good offense, and we don't have a good offense other than our midfield possibly trying to create set pieces or plays where we can get something going, but we don't have. To me, it's just that's why when this whole talk of Mbappe coming to the team or Haaland coming to the team, I like Mbappe because one of the things we need is wingers. And he can play as a winger. Whereas Haaland is, you know, you're straight up, you know, number nine. But we need wingers, man. We just don't have wingers. And I just don't. Like, I like Vinicius. And I'd say, you know, he's a young guy and he can probably get better or whatever. But it's just not happening fast enough, you know. And it's not happening fast enough with Asensio either, although he's improved as well. And we need that firepower, especially at this point of the season. You know, especially at this point of the season. And to lose Benzema is a huge deal because he is really our only, you know, innate goal scorer there. You know, that's proven goal scorer for Real Madrid now of the players that we have now. He's the only one. He's the only one that bags, you know, goals every season, upwards of maybe, what, 20-something goals every season. He's the only guy. So, you know, and we're not getting that from Vinicius. We're not getting that from Asensio. We're not getting it from Hazard, who's injured. Rodrigo is also out, who I, you know, once again, I feel really excited for some reason about Rodrigo coming back. I just, like I say, I feel like out of the Brazilian players that we have, he is the better option. But he's not available. He's not available. Valverde is not available to give, you know, I'm also afraid of, you know, there was another report about how there was another report, another article I was reading. I don't know if it was in Marca or in Diario AS, where the medical staff was worried about Modric because the dude's 35 years old. He's looking and playing great, of course. But with the amount of playing time he's getting and with no backup, because we don't have anybody else for the midfield other than Isco, but that's not really Isco's position, you are running the risk of losing him on a team that's already so, you know, is already so razor thin, you know, a roster that's already razor thin because it's riddled with injuries. I can't wait for Fede Valverde to come back and give, you know, Modric some rest or whoever they want to use him for, you know, whether it's Modric or Kroos, but I think mostly Modric because he's the older of the three, you know. And Casemiro, you know, he doesn't get a breath really because of the fact there's nobody really to take his place, unless we're talking about Antonio Blanco. But he hasn't even had a shot, even though I've wanted to see him play. He hasn't even been given a shot. So really we need these players to come back because as these players play more, we're only running the risk of getting more injuries. And God forbid we lose somebody like Luka Modric at this point in the season when we're so close to turning around the league, in our favor. You know, it was a great day today. And you know, I'm happy about it. I'm happy about the failure and the sadness of our opponents, you know, in the sense of, and our rivals, in the sense of Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. Barcelona tying the game today. Cadiz tying the game in the final minutes with a penalty to make it 1-1. So they're dropping points at Camp Nou. Obviously still reeling from that loss against PSG. That's all great. That's all great for us. Sorry for you culés if you listen to me, but whatever. And then Atletico, with another slide, losing to Levante. I mean, they drew with Levante, and now they lost to Levante. So that is huge for us. We are only 3 points behind them, and they have a game in hand over us. But it's just a critical part of the season where Real Madrid can't mess up, because if these guys drop more points, then the pressure's on even more for us to get those wins. And the next few games aren't any easier. You know, not only do we have Atalanta, but then we have Real Sociedad, you know. And then after Real Sociedad, we have Atalanta again. And then we have El Derby Madrileño against Atletico Madrid, where we can take points and really, really start pouring the pressure on. Because essentially that would be dropping more points. you know, and if there's a time to do it, the time is now. Essentially, because they're not they've been sliding a little bit. But not having Modric and not having Benzema and not having these other players is going to be a huge issue, you know. And I saw an article today. This was on Marca that, you know, the Fede Valverde and so Fede Valverde, Hazard, and Rodrigo are nearing somewhat the end of their recuperation to get back onto the pitch. They're all, you know, they're all three of them are actually already, you know, running on the pitch, making, you know, training on the pitch by themselves, of course, but they're already, you know, working again as opposed to being laid up, you know. So that is what's incredibly important. But we need to get those guys back as soon as possible, because this to me is the crunch time and the really nerve-wracking time of this season. And losing Benzema for me was just absolutely heartbreaking. And I, you know, like I said, as of the recording of this, it could still be that he plays against Atalanta, but I'm actually worried about that, because if he does have an injury, how much do you want to push him? Because losing him for me there even longer makes an issue that we currently have much, much worse. And the issue that we currently have is, you know, we have absolutely no attackers. I don't trust Asensio. I don't trust Mariano. I think he's a hard worker. Mariano is actually one of the guys that I like, because I think he's a hard worker, but he is not for me. I don't know. He's not for Madrid. You know, he did great in Lyon, and I think he can do great elsewhere, but he's not, and he's done great. He's done things for us, like when he's come off the bench, you know, but I still don't think, you know, and especially since we haven't played him for quite some time, you know, we'll see. Maybe he shuts me up, but it's just, you know, I don't rate him as being, you know. You know, think about it like this. You know, he was one of the players that Zidane wanted to offload, you know. And in hindsight, you know, it kind of stinks, because, I mean, I really wanted Jovic to stay. So when they let Borja Mayoral go to Roma, I was like, oh, you know, that's seems like a good idea, you know. I thought, you know, if you look at Jovic's stats when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt compared to Mayoral's stats when he was at Levante, Jovic looked like the better deal. But now, you know, it looks completely opposite, because Borja Mayoral is killing it in Roma. Doesn't seem like he stops scoring goals. And Jovic is sitting on the bench at Frankfurt, because Andre Silva is doing good there and they don't want to mess up a good thing, you know? And I mean, he's being brought on and things like that. And he's getting more playing time than he was getting at Madrid. But, you know, it just seems like all the movements when it comes to our attack were the wrong moves, you know? You know, getting rid of Brahim when we could have used him this season, especially because of the injuries that we have, and, you know, our wingers not being up to par. Just Vinicius doesn't, to me, like, Vinicius seems like, he just seems like he's dropped, his quality has dropped immensely. And Asensio too. And so now I worry about against Atalanta. So talking about now playing the game against Atalanta, honestly, the thing that I was, you know, discussing with some people on Twitter was really the best that we can do against Atalanta is to hopefully score an away goal. And whether that's coming from a set piece or whatever, because we can do that with the likes of Casemiro or Varane or Nacho. And, you know, the pinpoint accuracy of guys like Toni Kroos or Modric. From set pieces. So we can technically do that. So we can score an away goal, just one, hopefully. And then the other idea would be to shut down our defense as much as we can. Not shut down as in like, you know, I'm not saying park the bus, but use our midfield, you know, that midfield that we have, and then the defense, and make sure we don't concede. If we concede a goal, then it'd be a 1-1 game. You know, if we come home, you know, 0-0, whatever. But the best thing for us would be to come home with some sort of advantage. So either a 1-0 win, as gritty and dirty as that might be, or a 1-1 draw coming home with an advantage of an away goal. And that's really what I'm hoping will happen, because of how dangerous I know Atalanta is. I think if we run at Atalanta trying to score on them in a manner that's reckless, we're going to concede goals. Where I know we won't concede, obviously, I mean, and it's going to be hard for us to score. Because I do not see Vinicius, you know, running through an Atalanta defense and just completely, you know, destroying them and scoring a hat trick. You know, I just don't see that happening. I don't think Asensio, you know, maybe an Asensio goal. It's not too far-fetched, you know. A Mariano header, an Asensio pass to the across, and maybe a Mariano header or a Mariano run. Yeah, those things can happen, but those seem like so much more distant possibilities right now than they do, you know, being something that is based in reality. You know, because we haven't seen that. We haven't seen these guys consistently performing that way to say that they're going to perform against one of the most exciting teams in Serie A right now. You know, although they haven't been at their best as they were, I would say, last season. You know, they've been great, but they've been up and down. You know, they did, you know, they were up 3-0 against Torino and then the game was tied, so they conceded 3 goals. That's why I'm saying that their defense, we can have a chance there, where I'm thinking that while they have an attack, their midfield and defense doesn't match up well with ours. So we're either going to get a stalemate because we're going to be able to nullify their defense, but we're not going to be able to score on them, or it's a good day for us and we're able to defend and get a goal or two in Bergamo, you know? But we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that's going to play out. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I am fearful of that attack, because I am, you know, and the funny thing is I'm kind of torn. I'm torn because, you know, my background is Colombian. So I love how well Duván Zapata and Muriel are doing at Atalanta, and especially Muriel, who's sometimes coming on. Usually, Gasparini doesn't like to play them together too much. But you know, a lot of times Muriel will come on the field and he'll score some bangers. You know, he'll come on in the second half to replace Duván Zapata and score and he'll score 2 or 3 goals, you know. Duván Zapata is kind of in the other, I would say, he's not as quick and as skillful as Lukaku, but he's got that size and he has that ability to head the ball. He has that ability to push off defenders and score. He's a big dude, and he can, you know, he can get into space and score when he needs to. And then you have Ilicic, you know, you have Ilicic there, you have Gosens, you have Hatebor, you have Malinovsky. I mean, they have some solid players. And like I said, they've been an exciting team. They have not been a team. They've been a team that's been more up and down this year, but they are an exciting team. And they can, if we concede a goal, or they see that they can hammer us and get a goal, they will put 2 or 3 past us. And that's what can't happen. That's why I'm saying the idea has to be where our midfield and our defense is on point, and hopefully our attack can score. because that's the way we're going to be able to balance that out. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about, you know, getting Benzema back healthy, and making sure that we don't lose any more players, and also getting the other three back. The other three back, as in the article I was reading, which was Fede Valverde, Rodrigo, and Hazard coming back. Because I think those three, and hopefully Hazard can stay healthy. Hopefully this will be the turnaround that we need. And that's why I called this episode the bounce, because this, hopefully this is the bounce. This is the bounce, and the bounce is like when you bounce back, you know, getting, you know, when a team is losing or not doing well, and then they beat you because they're on the bounce, you know, they're on the rebound, they're on coming back, you know. But it's been so inconsistent with Madrid, because it's been like we've seen them sort of come back and then drop again, and then come back again and drop again. And right now is the one time in the season where everyone else, the tables turned, you know, where everyone else seems to be dropping again, especially Atletico Madrid, which, I mean, I saw the tweets. There were a ton of Madridistas that said were already believing that La Liga was done, you know, that Atletico Madrid was going to beat, was not going to drop any points. I know you guys were out there. I saw it on Twitter. People like writing those, you know, funny little tweets, you know, saying like, you guys really think Atletico Madrid is going to drop, you know, points against, I don't know. I mean, obviously at that time it was different teams, but it was like Elche, and they were going to drop teams against Athletic. Well, maybe they didn't drop team. They didn't drop there, but they dropped against Levante. You know, 5 points in their last, they've lost in their last two games. You know, they got 1 point out of six possible. So we're on the bounce, and we can come back, but we're also doing it. And that's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing about Madrid. And the thing that you gotta love about Zidane, man, is, I don't know what it is. It might not be management. It might not be management, or it might not be, you know, gestión, managing his players well, or managing the team well, or doing it with tactics. But that dude, as a lot of people like to say, tiene la flor, you know, he's got the flower. And in Spanish, es en el culo, you know, right there. And that means he's lucky, you know. It seems like the luck always favors Zidane. And if the luck favors Zidane, ladies and gentlemen, that means the luck favors us. And I don't care if it's gritty, if it's dirty, if it's shitty, the way we win, as long as we win, you know, because there will be a time for the beauty and the pretty football that we play from days past to come back again. But at this point, it's about survival. So if we score a goal because it hits somebody in the nuts and rolls up over the goal line, and it's the most ridiculous goal you ever seen, but it puts us one up against a potentially difficult opponent, then I'll take it. I'll take the nut ball, you know? I'll take it. Because that's what we, you know, right now we need a combination of two things. We need a combination of the attitude from our players, with guys like Casemiro, Toni Kroos, and Modric leading the way. You know, that solidity that they show in the midfield is what I feel makes at least the other players feel confident enough to try and do things, you know, and to try and push forward and try and win games is the attitude. It's the attitude, you know. That's why we can pull we're pulling these gritty games away. Like when we beat Huesca, you know, we struggled against them and we ended up turning the game around and winning 2-1. You know, the way we had to beat Valladolid, you know, and then it seemed easier against Valencia and Getafe, because Valencia and Getafe just seemed to be having completely off games, you know, or I mean, they just have gone from good to sort of form this season. And we're lucky that Real Sociedad is kind of, you know, falling in that down a little bit, you know, that they're we're also catching them a little bit injured, you know, after the loss to Manchester United. Hopefully, you know, and they're going to be hurting after they play Man U again and, you know, and then have to play us. Or do they play it? I don't know. I remember, but they're going to be hurting, you know. So the idea is we have all of these guys, we have all of the teams right now are ripe for the picking, as they say. It's the perfect time to turn things around. But do we have the players to do it? Do we have the health? We don't have it, but we have the attitude and we have La Flor. We have the luck of Zidane, you know, the black magic, as some of you like to say, you know, that he just seems to get all of a sudden, you know, like everybody now is just, you know, this dude got COVID. This guy got COVID and he came back and all the teams started losing. You know, Zidane has something, man. He's got something. And it's just, and, you know, and honestly, it's just a coincidence of course, it's just coincidence. I'm not trying to say, but it's just, you know, if he brings that luck, so be it, but we need to capitalize on it, you know? But yeah, you know, I'm excited about everything. I'm excited about La Liga. I'm just weary about the Champions League. I think the Champions League is going to be a tough game against Atalanta. I've already told you what I think the strategy is going to be. I think we need to come out. You know, we need to. I don't know if Zidane's going to play a 4-4-2. I doubt it. You know, I think he's still going to play a 4-3-3. Or, you know, our that midfield three is already as solid as it is. You know, I don't know if he'll play a 4-4-2. What, you know, with Mariano and Duro at the top, but you know, you really run the risk of you're not going to have anybody on the bench to bring in. So I don't know how he's going to play the game, but I'm still thinking we're going to go with a 4-3-3 and that's how we're going to play. Cause it's been how we've been playing. And we saw it with Casemiro and Kroos, with our midfield, Casemiro, Kroos and Modric shutting down teams like Inter and Mönchengladbach. You know, when in the group stage, you know, those two games that we needed to win, they completely shut down Inter. And that's what we need to happen again against Atalanta. If we do that and we can find a goal or a goal or two, then we come back to the Di Stefano and we can win this thing and we can move on. We can move out and get out of the round of 16. And you know, things are looking good. You know, things are looking good. We can do it. And if we survive this, it would be the most insane, I would say, you know, notch on the belt for Zidane. It would be insane, people. You know, I know people want Zidane out and all this stuff, but it would be so crazy for this guy to not have Karim Benzema and not have nine other players and be able to pull out La Liga. And I'm not going to say we're going to win the Champions League. You know, I'm not going to say that because it's so far-fetched at this point. But for this dude to pull out La Liga and look pretty good in the Champions League, oh my God, he'd shut up all the haters, man. Because if he can do it with this team, then no one can doubt Zidane again. Obviously, it's going to be rough to see what he's going to do with younger players when they come, if he were to stay. But I think, like I said, I still believe he's going to be leaving at the end of the season because him and the project of, I was reading an article where it's saying Florentino doesn't even want to invest in a project with the youth anymore. He's kind of tired of that already. Seems like it's not working for him, like Vinicius and Brazilian players and all this thing, you know, with Renier at Borussia Dortmund and guys like Brahim and all these guys. where he just wants to see if he can get Mbappe and Haaland, and you know, these deals that he's making, you know, with this American company, Providence, and then the Qiddiya, is what I think it's in Saudi Arabia, you know, pulling in these deals long, to get money in the bank. And if we can, you know, get somebody like Haaland or Mbappe over to Real Madrid and then make a run, it's just going to seem insane. And then if he just decides to keep Zidane around, well, I know a lot of people are going to be mad, but it's going to be a fun, it's going to be a fun couple of months for us Madridistas. So that's it, man. That's all I got for you guys. I think, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think all of you should be cautiously optimistic. I think we're moving in the right direction while other teams are sort of in a downward, not a downward spiral, but they've hit, you know, they've hit a roadblock, they've hit their obstacle, and they're hitting it at a time when we're sort of on the up and up. So that is a solid, solid time for us. The problem right now is, though, that loss of Karim Benzema is a big loss, especially right now before the Champions League. I'm pretty sure if we don't push him, he'll be fine for maybe the return leg and then the game against Real Sociedad and then, of course, the derby. But we have to see what's going to happen with the MRI and what's happening with him. But you know, get well, Karim, and let's hope we can pull these. Let's hope La Flor, you know, let's hope Zidane's Flor en el culo, you know, his luck, his black magic, plays in our favor, you know. And that's it, guys. I mean, I think I don't have anything else for you guys. I'm just happy, you know. I'm happy that we got this win, but I said cautiously optimistic. Let's keep it like that. If we get past Atalanta or we get a good result from Atalanta, then I think things are going to be looking better and better for us. So let's keep this optimism. Let's keep it going. A la Madrid. And that's it. So remember, you can follow me on E Nada Más Podcast. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can also follow on the website. Of course, you can download our podcast there. You can listen to our podcast there. It's enadamas.net. Not .com. It's enadamas.net. Hit us up at info@enadamas.net if you are interested in either writing for us, if you're interested in sponsoring the show, or you know, got a product to push or something like that, let me know. And we'll see what we can do. But besides that, guys, have a fantastic week. Let's go. Let's try to win this game against Atalanta. And get a good result, come back, and then we'll talk more next weekend. Who knows what the music will sound like? Will it be happy like this? You know, will it be like this? Or will it be sad and pissed off? But I'm thinking it's going to be happy. I'm thinking it's going to be good. All right, guys. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, as always, for the support. Like I said, also, make sure to subscribe at Real Madrid Hub. That is the news channel that I have with my good friend J Real Madrid. So make sure to subscribe there for daily news about Real Madrid. So subscribe there and get us, you know, help us get to our 100 subscribers. Tell all your friends, tell all the Madridistas in the world. Tell them about this podcast. You know, I haven't said this in a while, so make sure if you are listening to the podcast, please, please, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, okay, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go to Apple Podcasts. I think it's in wherever, in your iTunes or in the app. Leave a rating, whatever it is what you want to do. You know, I'm not going to push you to say 5 stars. If you think we're 4 stars or 3 stars or whatever, leave a rating and then leave a comment. That helps us grow within the podcasting library of Apple Podcasts, which is huge, but it helps us rise up the ranks and, you know, helps us get more visible. So that would help us out a lot. If you like the show, we really appreciate it. And that's it. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good week. We'll talk again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.